be taking communion here in a little while as well. And I just want to thank Carrie for sharing the spa ministry with us. It's good to have you here. As a pastor, at one point back in my history, came to Christ looking and waiting on a 4-20 prison sentence, is now standing in this pulpit. I appreciate your ministry. There is hope. There is so much hope. We have no idea what the Lord can do in our life. So thank you for that. I've learned along the way that I wasn't saved from drugs, and you aren't going to be saved from alcohol or sexual addiction. We're saved from our sin. And drugs just happen to be my sin of choice. And maybe yours is different. But Jesus Christ is the answer for it all. Whatever it is, Jesus Christ is the answer for it all. If you can see yourself as a sinner in need, He's there for you. When it comes to this book, we are concluding the book of Esther. I'm almost sad. I've fallen in love with this book in a big way. And we are now at near the conclusion, Esther chapter 9 and 10. And Esther and her people, the Jews, were in danger. An evil man named Haman had devised a plot and a scheme and had convinced the king to make a law that on a certain day of the calendar, they would exterminate the Jewish people, and they were in danger. And that law could not be revoked. That course could not be turned back. America has a hard time relating to some of this. We have an unusual relationship with danger here in America. David Mathis writes this, "You can see it in our locks, our gates, our motion sensors, our alarm systems. It's evident from the endless passwords, the extra digits on the back of a credit card, the x-ray machines and full-body scans at the airport. We have our seat belts and our airbags, our helmets, our pads, our face masks. We have insurance policies, retirement plans, and social security. Some carry pepper spray or mace or a whistle on a keychain. It affects what we eat, where we go, and how much we exercise, who we talk to, what we say, how we live. We are desperate for an enduring sense of safety and security." We all know of and have heard of parents who guard their children very closely, won't let them out of their sight, and rightfully so in this day and age. In my day and age, we got on our bikes early in the morning and said, "We'll be back at supper. What time do you want me here?" And they had no idea where we were at all day long. As long as they didn't get a bad report from somebody, it was going to be a good day. Different day today, different day. We guard our lives, our families. Danger is on the political scene with the gun laws and school shootings. Danger is a hot topic across our nation. And then I turn on the basketball game yesterday, and my favorite Taco Bell commercial comes on, and there's a guy hanging in a tent on the side of a cliff edge. They climb rock faces, and if it gets dark or just for the fun of it, there are actually tents you can secure to the lines, and you can camp out thousands of feet in the air attached to a line, and you'll sleep there. And I turn on the X Games and watch people flying and doing flips with skateboards and bikes and jumping off cliffs. And now the newest one where they put on a bat suit and they jump off the edge of a cliff and fly. And so our parents protect us to no end so we can put on a bat suit and jump off a cliff. I mean, we have an unusual relationship with danger in our country. And yet danger is very real, a real thing. And security and safety is maybe priority one for many of us. we will probably never know the danger that Esther knew here, as there was a day on the calendar that her race, every one of her people throughout the kingdom, could be killed and their property taken to the nearest hunter of their lives. But in this particular story, at this particular time, Esther became queen, Mordecai became the second in charge, and that edict was now countered with another edict that said, Jews, you get to defend yourselves. You get to gather, defend, and defeat your enemies, and you get to keep their stuff if you want to. And so they celebrated this time. I want to share with you three things that I've learned from this story of facing this danger. And the whole point of Esther is that God keeps his promises and his plans. He will fulfill what he's promised and planned. He is in control of everything all the time. And we're part of that plan. We're part of that plan. That's what Esther's about. God had made promises early on to the Jewish people. There was going to be a nation. There was going to be a Messiah come from these people. They were not going to be exterminated if God was to keep his plans and his promises. The key line here for us this morning, nothing will alter or defeat God's promises and plans. We can bank on God keeping his promises and plans. Like Esther, no matter how much danger comes into our life, no matter how much uncertainty, insecurity comes into our life, we can plan on God's promises being fulfilled. He is in control. He will see us through. I'd like to read just a little bit, beginning in chapter 9, verse 19. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who live in the rural towns, they hold the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day for gladness and feasting, as a holiday, and as a day on which they send gifts of food to one another. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month Adar and also the 15th day of the same year, year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they called these days Purim, after the term poor. Nothing will alter or defeat God's promises and plans. The first thing I've seen is even if your life seems to hang in the roll of a dice, and that's what poor is. Poor is the single word for something they are going to roll out like we would roll out a dice. A pur or a lot is some, could be anything, any shape, any shard, any square, anything they had, depending on the culture. They would roll things out and see what came up. And in this particular story, Haman had already determined to kill the Jews. So what he was rolling the dice, so to speak, to his God, he was very superstitious and they had gods and it was kind of a fate thing, but however he was doing it, he was casting something to determine the time. He was going to kill them. They were going to be exterminated. He was rolling the dice to see what the gods would say is the exact day of the year for him to take their life. It was interesting because he rolled the dice. He cast these lots for a year. For a year to find out when is the exact right day to exterminate these Jewish people. Cast the lot, say from January to December, and when that time was up, the day that came up was next December. So God, in his providence, he cast the lots for a year, and then God, the dice rolled, and it said, in a year, next December. So they actually had 12 more months or 11 months before this day would come up on the calendar. That was the day that Haman had concluded by his scheme, by his casting to his gods, to whatever he was casting to. That was the day determined to exterminate the Jews. It worked out perfectly for the Jews. It gave them almost a year to prepare, almost a year to have two feasts, almost a year for all that, for a new edict, for word to go out through the entire kingdom of Ahasuerus, for them to organize and gather and be ready. And by the time that happened, they would still have 9 months to gather, defend, and defeat, to organize and to be ready for this attack, to arm themselves, to figure out how are we going to defend ourselves. So the timing was perfect for the Jews. Haman would cast lots or parts or portions, that's really what the word means, to find out what portion of the calendar would fall to this plot of his to harm the Jews. A lot is a part. However they cast it, what part of the year, December, what day of the month, there's 30, what part of the month should we kill them this day? So he was casting a lot, a parts, pieces, to find out when they would kill the Jews. God was in control of every circumstance. Sometimes we think my life means nothing to God. Man, my life is so scattered right now. Is God really in control of this little part of my life? Here's a part nobody knows about. Is God really in control of that part? Well, even when your life seems like a roll of the dice will change the whole course of life for you, it's just, I'm just a small part in a big kingdom. This story gives us hope that God is in control of a roll of the dice, every little single part of our lives he's in control of. He may let it fall on a certain day, he may not, but he is in control even when it's just a roll of the dice. When will we harm them? He rolls the dice for you. It's an amazing, amazing story, really. You would think, man, this is a heathen God. This is a wicked, wicked man. God has nothing to do with him. Oh, God has everything to do with him. And I want to tell you that you have a part. You have a lot. You have a part in his kingdom. Now, I don't know what it is, but you and I have a part. This church has a part, a piece, a lot in God's kingdom, and he's in control. You, yourself, your family, you have a part in the kingdom of God, and he's in control of your life, whether you feel like it or not. No one can control that part or that lot. God is in control. And the dice will roll where they roll, but don't you think for a minute it's random. Don't you think it, for a minute it's out of control that he hasn't touched your life. His hand isn't on those dice. God is the God of circumstances. He's the God of purposes. He's the God of promises. And whether it's someone trying to hurt you, he knows that. Or whether it's you trying to figure out what your part is in the kingdom, you need to know he's in control. His promises and his plans will never be deterred, never be defeated, never be altered. He's in complete control, even when there's an edict, a legal paper set out to harm you. Certainly didn't look like he was in control, but he was. Get hope from this story that God knows every little part of your life. Secondly, nothing will alter or defeat God's promises and plans. But when his purpose comes to an end and you see God in it, and this is very important, when his purpose is fulfilled in your life, when your part is made clear, I couldn't see my part. When I came to Christ, waiting on 4 to 20 prison sentence, this was the last thing on my mind. The last. This wasn't even possible. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't even see my part. But now that my part is here and I see my part and I look back over my part, I want to help others worship him for what he's done. That's what's happening in this story. That's what's happening in Esther. Did you get this? Let me read to you again. Verse 22, chapter 9, verse 22. You might think this is just benevolence. It's not. As the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. In verse 31, it says that these days of Purim, this holiday, this would become a holiday. They should be observed at their appointed seasons as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them. And as they had obligated themselves, Mordecai and Esther obligated themselves and their offspring, they'd be keeping this day with regard to their fasts and their lamenting. The whole package of this would begin with a day of fasting and kind of reflecting and lamenting, and then it would go into 2 days of holiday, 2 days of feasting and gladness. And one of the things they had to do was they give food gifts to one another. Now, I love food gifts, so if you ever want to fulfill Esther's obligation, I'm here, okay? Actually, it's cool part about this is Purim. Just happened March 20th. Started March 20th at 6 p.m., went to March 21st at 6 p.m. They just celebrated Purim. They celebrated the deliverance of the Lord, the day he kept their nation alive. And so you give food gifts to one another and gifts to the poor. Now, that's not just benevolence. What they were doing was they were going to have a big feast, a big party, a holiday. And they wanted everybody to be able to party holiday with them. So there were poor people. There were people that couldn't have a feast. So they give food gifts to them. They give gifts to the poor, food gifts to each other, so that everybody in the kingdom can party and holiday worship to the God who saves, to the God who moves, to the God who's God of the dice. He's the God of every little part. He's there. No matter how it falls, he's there. But they wanted everybody to come together and be able to celebrate God together. That's why they gave these gifts. That's why when I stand up here, still not quite comprehending God's goodness over my life, my heart is, I want us all to comprehend. I want us all to rejoice together. This grace is not just for me, it's for everybody. I'm so pleased right now that in our congregation, there are so many of you. There are so many of them. And I think it's the heart of this church. There's so many people coming in right now and their lives are being changed almost daily. Almost daily. Probably next week, Ted, I'm going to have you up here. We're going to do an interview we've been talking about. Ted and Janet's life is changing daily. I mean, moment by moment, God sightings all over the place. So many of you are like that. And you know what? We're not keeping it to ourselves. I want you to party with me. I want you to party. I want us all to worship together to this God. I want us to feast together on this God. So we're going to share our lives together so we can all feast together. Our God is good. Our God is powerful. He's in control. He's the God of the dice, and He's the God of the good gifts, the worship. We can all worship together. And finally, as we get ready to take communion, this one is just so critical to me, and it's so dear to me, it's so close to me. I really want us to get this particular point, my third point. Nothing alters or defeats God's promises and plans. Even if the course can't be reversed, the outcome can. That's critical, the book of Esther. Even if the course can't be reversed, and their course could not be reversed, Haman made an edict, a law, on this day, we're going to kill the Jews. And when Esther had her feast and she went back to the king, he said, it's a law of the Medes and Persians. I can't change the law. It can't be revoked. The course is going to happen. But you can rewrite your own edict and counteract that edict. And that's what happened. In the book of Esther, the course couldn't be altered. The law couldn't be revoked. There are circumstances from Haman's leadership that were going to happen. So the course couldn't be changed. There was going to be a civil war. But the outcome could be changed. They thought they were going to be exterminated, and for sure there was going to be a battle. There were going to be lives lost. 800 in Susa of the enemy, 75,000 lives. This was no small battle. This was huge. I don't know how many Jews were lost in that, but it says 75,000 of those who hated them throughout the kingdom. On 2 days, you see a little bit of Esther's Persian coming out, and she's like a Persian cat or something. I mean, I've told you along the way, Esther wasn't necessarily this strong, religious Jewish woman. She was courageous. She was crazy courageous to go before the king. But when they had had the first day of killing, the king asked her, he said, how'd it go? Killed 500 in Susa. In our town alone, we, my people, the Jews, we've killed 500 people, 500 of our enemies. Great. What else can I do for you, Esther? Half my kingdom. What do you want? Well, you think we could do it again tomorrow? I want to dredge the swamp a little bit more tomorrow. Not there, just here in our town. Let's do it again tomorrow. 300 more were killed the next day. Oh, she was out for blood. I don't know what she thought. I don't know. She knew something. Word had gotten back to her. They'd hid maybe. Maybe there were still some really bad enemy cells there. We don't know. We're not told. The entire rest of the kingdom didn't have that second day to kill their enemies. But in her town, Susa, let's do this again tomorrow. And they did. 300 more. And by the way, those 10 sons of Haman who were killed, can we hang them up on a pole? He had a pole made 75 feet high he was going to kill and then impale Mordecai on. Let's do that to his 10 sons too. So they're dead. Let's hang them up on a pole. And let's just show everybody we're the Jews. You know, you don't mess with us. And they did. She had a little bit of fire coming out of her here. She was courageous. She'd gone through the fight. This was a civil war going on. The course was not going to be changed. But the outcome could be changed because God would step in, because God was providential. He is in control, and you and I have to know that. The course of our life plugs along, and we make choices. We do things. Other people make choices. Some people try and harm us. Things happen. When you and I look at our life and we go, oh no, Look what I've done. Look what they've done. Look what's happening. How am I going to get out of this? Here's the course my life's going to take. Oh, no, God, where are you? We have to remember sometimes the course cannot be changed. Stay with God. Stay with God. The outcome can. On that day, they were going to be a bloody battle. They were going to be exterminated. There was still a bloody battle. But they weren't exterminated. This is a verse. This is one of those refrigerator verses right here. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now on the 12th month, right? They rolled dice the whole previous year to January. Now on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, so they rolled it to January, the dice came up December 13th. 13th day of the same, when the king's command and edict were about to be carried out, on the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them, the reverse occurred. The Jews gained mastery over those who hated them. It was reversed. The outcome was reversed. On the day when the bloody battle was to happen and the enemies said, we are going to get over on them. We are going to get on top of them. We're going to exterminate them. Watch this. The exact opposite happened. So you and I go through our life, and day after day it looks like, I don't know how I'm going to beat this. Oh man, I don't know, where's God now? I don't know how we're going to get through this, guys, but you need to know, we may have to take that course. Please understand that. Nobody's promised an easy course through this planet. Nobody. And if you're like me, you make enough stupid mistakes to make it even harder. But my God, He may not change my course, but He will change the outcome. By His grace, He will change the outcome. And when I think I'm going to sink in the water like Peter, He picks me up and He says, no, you're not sinking. I just wanted you to walk on water in this choppy water for a while. I wanted you to feel it. I wanted you to reach out to me. I wanted you to know my love, my faithfulness, and my goodness, and my grace. So I'm not changing your course. Grind it out. But I will change your outcome. I will change your outcome. You will stand on top of this mountain. Stupid young 19-year-old boy thinking you're a drug dealer, you will preach for me someday. Really? Really? God will change the end if He doesn't change the course. Please remember that. Servers, would you come forward, please? Let's take communion. I think this would be a great time to take communion. Our communion's open here. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, please take communion with us. Please celebrate the life and death of Jesus Christ with us. Please celebrate the cross with us. Let me pray and go ahead and then we'll pass this out. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus Christ, for His broken body, for the power in it. My body should have been broken, but Yours was broken for me. You've made me whole by Your brokenness. You hold all the power, power over the lots, power over worship, power over the outcome. And I bow to You. We as a family of believers right now, we bow to You, to Your brokenness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Remember this story? There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on all the earth." And Job's life, his course was changed. Lost all his stuff, lost all his kids, laid in sackcloth and ashes and boils, crying out to God, "What is going on in my life?" You remember the outcome of Job's life? He saw God. He said, "I've heard about you, but I've seen you now." So many times, there's so many sitting in churches today, they've heard all about God. They've just never seen him. They've never tasted him. They've never cried out to the one who can change the outcome, the end. They always want the course changed. We always want the course to be comfortable. We always want today and tomorrow to be pleasing and nice. We've heard a lot about him, but we've never seen him. Job was a good example to us. Sometimes the course is a little tough, but at the end of it, we're going to worship because we're going to see God the way he really is. We're going to cry out and know him. At the end of that story, Job was a whole lot better off than when he began. And he praised God. He'd lost kids, lost all his kids, everything he owned, and he praised God at the end. Because the course might not be changed, but the end will be. See? Lord, our prayer is for faith. We're just praying for faith and for grace to live the course you've planned for us, and to glorify and worship you. Lord, give us grace, I pray. In Jesus' name. We're going to remember the blood of Jesus Christ on a cross, on a piece of wood, soaking into the wood, running down his body, his arms, his hands, his legs, his head. We're remembering the body of blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, may this blood wash us clean. May you pour it into our hearts right now. We are saved from our sin, Lord. Wash us. Whatever we have, whatever we bring in here from the day, from the night, from yesterday, from this week, Lord, your blood is sufficient. It is good. Wash us now as we drink and remember your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow, and for fear of him the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you'll see him." The course couldn't be changed. Had to do it. That's why he came. "Oh, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me." Can't do it. Can't do it. Of course, couldn't be changed. "But I'll raise you from the dead on the third day." They think they're killing you. I'm raising you. You are victorious. Of course, can't be changed. And you'll see him there. Go, ladies, you'll see him. You'll see him. Let's drink. Lord, we want to see you. And sometimes it's down a course we don't choose or like. Sometimes it's a course of our making and our doing, and sometimes it's a course others have tried to affect into our life. But you're in control. You're in control of every part. So, Lord, we bow to you now. We accept the course you've given us. Well, Lord, we want to see you. I pray now for anyone here. Maybe they're a long-standing member. Maybe they're a guest. Anyone here, Lord, that's heard about you but hasn't seen you, Lord, may they see you today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up. They're going to lead us in a song to Jesus. I'm going to ask you, we've gone through Esther. We've gone through the entire book now. We've seen her in a different light. And I hope you've seen the course of your life and the course of Esther's life. It's not all pretty. It's not all fun. But at the end of Esther, there's a holiday. And at the end of our course, there's a holiday we call Easter, the resurrection. And the only key part is, if you know about him, but you've never seen him, you've never tasted him, you've never embraced him, that's what we want. That's what we want to happen. We want you to know the Savior that loves and died for you. So if that's you, I'll be standing up here just letting my heart break and melt. And if you'd like to come up and talk to me or Neil, if you have anything in your life, anything in the course of your life you can't handle, it's just too big, it's just too hard, maybe you want to come up and just pray up here for the course of your life. Lord, give me grace to weather the course, because I want to see you at the end. The course is just hard. That's good. You just come up here and pour yourself out. We'll pray with you. We'll leave you alone, whatever you want to do. It's big. Sometimes it's a mountain. And he's not going to change the course. But he can change the end. Mm-hmm. So I want to give that to you.